Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
There's strong bipartisan support for a binding vote by Congress. This is not something, the president needs to sell this to the American people, and Congress needs to be involved in this way.
Senator Bob Corker from Tennessee, adamant that, yeah, we need some say in this, partner. You can't go solo at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. We're talking about Iran. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. We're going to dip and dive in a few different directions for this hour of ATN, including another version of We Can Count, because, you know, it's all about the numbers. Sadly, there are some really horrific numbers to talk about. In fact, we'll probably talk about them before we get to that segment. Here's a happy note to start with if you're a fan of Dukes, although Duke is one of those teams. They have the Hillary Clinton syndrome. You know what that is? People either love to love you or they hate to hate you. I don't know what that is, but a lot of people don't like Duke or else they really love it. Duke winning another one. Coach Krzyzewski. Yep, Coach K. Fifth national title. What's really cool about this Duke team is they had four incredible freshmen who led the way. And the national freshman of the year, a kid named Jahlil Okafor, had 10 points and really sat most of the second half on the bench, but they ended up beating Wisconsin in a thriller, 68-63, as I know we have many people rooting for Wisconsin in this audience, or were rooting for Wisconsin, probably a little disappointed, but there were some Dukies in there too, because I got a bunch of emails from people who were Duke alums. So it's their fifth basketball crown, a big moment for Coach K and certainly for that basketball team too, as well. So there's some very positive numbers. The negative numbers that will come later in this hour have to do with the latest rampage, or what was the latest rampage, at the hands of the Boys in Black, and that would be the ISIS thugs. And what's the latest thing that they are believed to have done, and the evidence that they left behind of it is just awful. But, you know, this is the kind of thing, the sensationalism, the pumping it up on social media that ISIS is good at. Something horrific, something to just catch your attention and pull you out of whatever it is that you're doing, and attract more people who would be radicalized to their group from other places, sadly, even the United States. Finally, in Boston, they may get the verdict they want after weeks of unbelievable testimony, hard-to-listen-to testimony. Closing arguments happened in the trial of Jokhar Tsarnaev, who faces life in prison or maybe even the death penalty, even though Massachusetts is not warm to the death penalty, but it is there. It is a possibility. And if you don't know the name, I would be very surprised, but he was one of the two, his brother was the other, that exploded bombs at the 2013 Boston Marathon, the pressure cooker bombs that went off ultimately, killing three people, including an eight-year-old little boy, and wounded so many others, so many that were actually even lucky to survive. So what will the jury do? What will they decide? Remains to be seen. On this show, we also do a thing called a cheap movie review at the tail end of the week. It's a lot of fun. And the whole idea behind it is, yeah, you get to hear a trailer or two, and just maybe this might be the week you go to the movies. Or you wait, like I say so often, until it streams. You know, you can stream on your phone now. It's unbelievable what you can do on your phone. I mean, seriously. I hope more people put their phones down and actually have conversations. But you just walk around with your television on your phone. Just hit your remotes. If you have something on demand, watch it. You can, I mean, if you have UVerse, it's, and I'm sure with others too, it's unbelievable. So Furious 7 had a big moment at the box office. And it's, why is it not surprising that it's, this is such a popular franchise? And it's not stunning to me, but I want to tell you the numbers before we even get to a number segment. The number is this: it debuted in about the 135 to 138 million range. You know, that's the biggest opening in North America anyway since the fall of 2013. And this is the final movie, and this is also part of it, but just they have an audience. It's the final movie that features Paul Walker. And it opens even in wider release this upcoming weekend. So they believe it should easily pass, you know, 300 million plus because of the amount of theaters that it's playing in and how big it is. How big the Furious franchise just is. Just pulls people in. It's kind of like you look at some of the action movies and what some of the action movies have done, like Captain America, that had a pretty big debut, but it was less than 100 million, 95 million. And The Hunger Games, huge debut, but still being beat by Furious 7. And they had to, remember, they had to stop production when Walker died in a car crash during a Thanksgiving break, which happened, boy, in November of 2013. And they decided they had footage. They tweaked the script so that they were able to use Walker, that they were able to, you know, do some voice effects in some scenes and use a couple of other things that they could do, use some stand-ins with Walker's brothers, actually, and Caleb and Cody. They were able to pull this off. They were able to make it happen. And I didn't see it, but I know some people that did, and they said it was really, really well done. it's the same theme. You know, fast cars, hot babes, I suppose, and nefarious characters who are after them. There's something about the whole fast car thing, I think, though, is the biggest part of Fast and Furious, because that's the whole idea, you know, behind it. And I come back around to Iran and Bob Corker at the top, and Fast and Furious would be the name of the game as to whether or not we're going to see Congress get a piece of the Iran deal and whether they're going to have a real voice in it or not, because the deadline, you know, it's just in the framework. Okay, we got the framework, but the deadline is the end of June. It still isn't much time if you think that we're already into April. So ultimately, will Congress have a say? Or no, does this move in a different direction? And I think Corker's push is, listen, we have bipartisan support, so don't you worry. We have bipartisan support. It's going to happen. We're going to sign off on it. And I don't know. I think either way, if it's non-binding, which it would be non-binding, I think that's just fine with the White House, although I guess with the blessing of Congress, it doesn't hurt. But I don't think there's a big concern to necessarily make that happen. Let's put it that way. All right, we've just scratched the surface. Much more to come here on this version of America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
As the new world order continues to tighten its grip on every facet of our lives, we're all asking ourselves, how can we maintain our independence? The answer is clear. Get prepared, and you get prepared now. Now the only question left is, where do we begin? My Patriot Supply is here to help. Call 800-247-3070 to get started with your 72-hour emergency food supply for only $10. We're even covering the cost of shipping. Are you willing to rely on the government and FEMA in the event of an emergency? Call 800-274-3070 to get started with your 72-hour emergency food supply for only $10. You won't be able to find this deal online, and there is a strict limit of 4 per caller, so don't wait. Call now, 800-274-3070. That's 800-274-3070. Call right now.
In our neighborhood here on America Tonight, we do this thing, and when we look back, you know, people are nostalgic for things, and you don't have to be old to miss certain things from your childhood. You could be in your 20s, or you could be much older than that, but as you get older, you know, you find that people will say, well, we used to do it this way, and this was so much better. It's like I was just talking about the phones, and the fact that with the phones now, I find it amazing, and I have like a love-hate relationship with technology. Maybe some of you have the same thing, where I cannot believe the things that you can do with the phone. As long as you're not doing it in the car while you're driving down the road at 70 miles an hour. But the interesting things, the ease of convenience with the cell phone, meaning if you have an iPhone, maybe an Android, anything that you, technological advances that you might have on your phone. Gone are the days of the flip phone, and wow, we can actually text. I mean, now it's, you know, taking pictures all over the place and posting them immediately to all kinds of sites, and it's wild. So we like to do a segment here once a week called Old School, New School, and that's where we invite Matt Johnson to come on with us. Matt, Old School, New School. So do you feel like you have kind of a love-hate relationship with the phone, or no?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, one of the beautiful things when you, like, go on a vacation up north or something like that, or maybe somewhere where you don't get service, you just kind of are able to break away, and nobody can get a hold of you. And I remember that as a kid when I was growing up, where you weren't always attached to your phone and had people kind of knowing what you were doing every single second of the day.
Yeah, I think that's the buggy thing, too. I agree. When you can't get service, it might be annoying for some people, but in another way, it's great because you can actually not be tethered to it And it's become such a utility thing. It's not just a phone. It's not even so much about talking. It's more about texting and being connected than probably anything else. Absolutely. All right, so old school, new school, Matt, single blade razor, like even the cheap old bag of those Bic razors that you get versus the sweet, expensive electric razor. Which do you go with, the old school or new school?
I guess neither, technically. I use a beard trimmer for the most part. I don't really shave that much anymore, to be honest with you.
So what do you have, an old man beard, a long beard?
No, I mean, it's just some stubble, but I've been doing that for years now. I just kind of rock the 5 o'clock shadow look, and I haven't had to shave my face in a while, and it makes it easier.
So you just trim it with, like, a beard trimmer?
Yeah.
Okay, so forget the whole razor. You know, it's probably good in a way because you don't have razor burn or mm-hmm. any of the nicks on your face that people get,
right.
guys get.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, hopefully not very many women listening to us shave their face. That's a no-no for women. Shave your face is going to grow back like triple if you do that.
Is that been proven?
So, I think so. I think that it's a bad thing.
That sounds like a Mythbuster.
I don't know. I'm not so sure about that. Okay, so this is a good one. Old school, new school. Old school, you know, you take your key, boom, you start the ignition, take off, that's it. New school, keyless start. You don't have to have the key in the ignition. In fact, you don't. It's a button or it just starts. You can hit a button on your key fob and start your car. Which are you?
Well, up here in the frozen tundra, the keyless start, the remote start, is very popular because when it's negative 20 outside in the middle of January, it's very helpful to have the remote start.
Oh, so you like that. So you have that.
Why
you
would
have
you
that?
Hit your car to warm up then? And then in the summer, when it's really brutal out, you can have your AC running. But it's not as important as in the winter to get your car warmed up.
I like the old-fashioned key start because sometimes that stupid keyless start doesn't work and it's a hassle. I've rented cars where it's become a giant hassle. Somehow something gets screwed up and it doesn't start. What do you do when it doesn't start, the keyless start?
Yeah, I guess, I mean, I don't have a car that has a keyless start. I know what you're talking about. They have the push button
right.
starts.
Yes.
So I guess I don't have experience with that.
Yeah, I don't. Sometimes the car with too much technology can be not as good. Be careful when you rent. When you rent, good places, you know, you're going to Hawaii. Good place to be careful is when you go to Hawaii and rent a car, because whatever the latest, greatest is, they give it to you, and they put the fear of God into you that if there's any nicks, if a coconut falls on this car, you're going to pay millions. And so sometimes you get there at night, and you're going over it with a fine-tooth comb and trying to figure out how to work a car. You have no idea how to work it, and it's yeah, it's the one thing about the Aloha Islands I don't like. So it's better if you go in the day. Then you can see the nicks because they frighten you. So you write I see a little tiny thumbnail nick on this thing. Okay, how about this? Push mower versus rocking the riding lawn mower.
I think for me it definitely depends on the size of your lawn. Because if you, like my parents, their lawn is doable in a push mower. If it was a little bit bigger, I think I might have to go with the riding lawnmower.
Because you don't want to have to push it if it's too giant, like an acre?
Well, I mean, there's not really push mowers anymore. It's like they're self-propelled for the most part. But I'm just talking about like coverage-wise.
Yeah.
And the amount of time. I mean, no one wants to spend an hour and a half mowing their lawn.
They don't?
No. Even though
I don't know. In my neighborhood, I see lots of people doing that. Not
what,
the riding,
the riding ones?
No, I see a lot of people that there's a whole thing about the yard, doing the yard. That's like the manly thing.
Yeah.
They get the bags out, do the lawn, make it all nice, taking, you know, sweat to death to prove the point that they've worked. And usually they're out there for a while. It's not like a quick deal. Plus, here's the other thing. You know, growing up, there was always kids in the neighborhood. They would mow the lawn. They would get paid. They'd mow the lawn. No kids want to do
doing.
It now. They don't want to do it.
I mowed my neighbor's yard for probably like 15 years.
Oh,
it was
so
my
smart of you.
Secondary source of income in the summer.
Of course. It's no big deal. I don't understand. Now it's harder to get people to want to mow the lawn. All right, so how about this? Human luggage check-in at the airport, meaning you go in, hey, plop your luggage on. Oh, nice to see you. They ask for your ID, and along you go. Or this credit card carousels, which they have everywhere, American, Delta, United, whatever, where you have to put in a credit card, and then it looks for your, you know, what flight are you on? You have to push all the buttons in, and it spits out its ticket and everything, and then you move on from there.
I'm all about convenience at the airport, so whatever is the quickest thing. And I'll be honest with you, most of the time I don't even check a bag because I'll just bring a backpack and then a carry-on and stuff everything in there so then I don't have to even worry about checking luggage and the carousel and getting your bag and all that.
Oh, you don't check luggage? Ugh, I don't like carrying. I don't like being a pack rat, but you're a guy, I guess it doesn't matter, where you're bumping people's heads and you're going down the aisle and, oh, excuse me, I have my backpack, it's overstuffed. Let me hurry up and run down here so I can throw it in the overhead.
I make do with it, so.
Yeah,
but I also
you know
don't need a different outfit for every day either.
Or shoes. Here's the good thing about that. The good thing about you doing that is that you don't have to pay the bag fee either.
Right.
Oh, I hate the bag fee. I think that's such a ripoff. $25 or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. All right, how about this? Checks in the mail or PayPal? A lot of people still use checks. They write a check out. And you know that old saying that, yeah, the check's in the mail. But it's true. Some people still, and businesses like checks. Otherwise, I think PayPal, for me, it's PayPal. What do you think?
Yeah, I think PayPal as well. It's just easier. You know, it's basically just making a wire transfer almost. And I've done it for like basketball pools. I've done it for some side jobs where it's a lot easier to get the money to someone or to receive the money. Then you're not waiting for the check to come in the mail from whatever postal service they happen to be using.
I know. And that can be shaky these days.
Especially,
no offense.
There's some post office down south that I know of that's a little slow.
Boy, let me tell you, in Dallas, it is. It's like you could mail something. I could mail something to Spain and say, oh, we got it. It just came in 2 days. But you could mail something to like two states over and they get it a week later. It's very, very weird.
Right.
How about this? Homemade cake or pie versus the store bought? Which do
I'm
you
definitely
prefer?
Going homemade. And mm-hmm. If I had to pick, I'd take a pie over a cake. They're vastly superior.
Yeah, I agree. I grew up with that. I used to take it for granted, but now that I think about it, I wasn't a huge dessert person, but my mother made from scratch apple pie.
That's
yum.
How my grandma was. I always had apple or pumpkin pie. And
yeah, and it tastes different.
Yeah, it does.
Especially pumpkin pie, too, because the processed pumpkin pie, I mean, I'm sure it's okay, but it doesn't have that same taste that the homemade one does, and the crust is really, I like the crust part, and the crust is really
right.
different.
Yeah, homemade crust is far superior.
Yeah, I agree. All right, that was fun. Old school, new school, how about that? You may have some different responses. Stay with us. More coming your way next here on America Tonight.
Attention taxpayers, if you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact that the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There's a special toll-free tax hotline set up especially for you. This tax hotline will tell you about new programs that are geared to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now. Take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 877-345-7645. That's 877-345-7645. When you call, you get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate back taxes, including penalties and interest. You can also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you have been entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. You can stop the collection process immediately at 1-877-345-7645. That's 1-877-345-7645. 1-877-345-7645.
We are America's largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, LegalShield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to LegalShield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let LegalShield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it, so decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610, or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary. Not a solicitation for legal services.
Tonight, our pal Ivan Elin, who wrote just another great piece in Huffington Post having to do with Iran and this agreement. And boy, there's been a lot of speculation as to what's going to happen now. And Republicans are saying that they don't trust what's happening there. They're not the only ones. But in the world of negotiating, I think you do have to give some cred to the White House for making this happen. And I believe Ivan feels the same way. Ivan, thanks for coming on. And what was your initial reaction to having this, the framework anyway, of this come together?
Well, my initial reaction was that it was a better agreement than I thought they would be able to get. They I think they are truthful in that they say they have blocked all paths to a nuclear weapon, or at least delayed, you know, the ability to get a bomb quickly, you know, lengthen the time that Iran would be able to race to get a nuclear weapon if they made a decision to. And I think, you know, the people that are opposing this already, of course, we haven't seen the details in the final agreement, and there's still some gray areas that both sides are kind of, you know, giving their own version on, like inspections and sanctions relief. How is that going to, you know, happen? And those are crucial items. But nonetheless, the elements that they've announced already sound pretty good as far as getting Iran to, you know, to agree to these things has been a pretty big accomplishment. And even Republicans like Richard Haass, who are, you know, less hawkish, are saying, you know, this was better than we thought we would get. And even Democrats like Dianne Feinstein, mm-hmm. who are very close supporters of Israel, have also said the same thing. And I think Israel and the hawkish Republicans who support Netanyahu, and that's not all Israelis, but it's the hawkish wing of the Israeli spectrum, I think they need to think of two things. The first thing is Iran has two major enrichment facilities. One is Natanz, and the other one is a place called Fordo, which is buried deep underground to withstand airstrikes. Well, in the agreement, they can only enrich uranium at the above-ground facility in Natanz. Now, if you ever, we don't really have a viable military option now, but if you can inspect the underground facility and they are only allowed to enrich above ground, then you do have a military option in the future. So that's one point. The other point is that Netanyahu and the Republicans are saying, well, you know, let's ratchet up sanctions. We can get a better agreement. Well, first of all, if the U.S. is seen to be to have killed the negotiations, the Europeans are going to bail out on the sanctions very quickly because they have we have more less trade with Iran than they do, and they would like to have more trade with Iran, which is one of the reasons that they want this deal to go through. So I think that's kind of a non-starter. The other problem with that is that if you, you know, when you trade off a current agreement to, for a future agreement, what if you don't get a future agreement? Iran is mm-hmm. going to, you know, be able to keep enriching uranium towards a bomb. So, of course, then the only alternative will be war, and I think that's what the hawkish Republicans in Israel would like to see. But a war, unfortunately, with these deeply buried facilities will only probably set back the Iranian nuclear program 1 to 3 years and delay it, and they will then they'll go all out to get a nuclear weapon because they've been attacked.
And isn't it, I mean, obviously, you know, you talked about Fordo, and I think I saw the energy secretary was talking about that and saying that there's no way and they're not enriching uranium there. And so all this nonsense about it could be enriched, it's not even happening and there's no way it can happen. To your point of saying that, you know, that was one thing you don't want to see is the underground facility going in that direction. So he's already saying we have intel, we know the information, and that's not happening. Do you think that's accurate, though?
Well, I think that what the, under the agreement, it doesn't matter if it's happening now or not. It will happen. They're installing new high-speed centrifuges, which make these older ones look like very primitive. And under the agreement, they only get to enrich under the primitive ones. Now, they don't have to destroy the other ones, but they can't enrich them. And this Fordo facility would be an enrichment facility. Mm. And it would be, you know, it would be underground, so it'd be hard to knock out with any military strike. But under the agreement, this will be prohibited. They'll transfer it into or convert it into a research facility, and therefore, you can send inspectors in there to monitor it and make sure that it is a research facility. Then you only have above ground enrichment, which you can target with military, action if you need to.
So, in doing this deal, in having this deal happen, and you and I have talked about executive actions before and whatnot, in the case of the president with Congress here, if the American public really embraces this idea, isn't it better for Congress then to go along with it?
Well, I think Congress does need to ratify this because this is an important agreement. I think the strategy for Obama is that, you know, I think it's a good case to make that this is about the best agreement you're ever going to get with Iran, and it will, you know, significantly limit their nuclear program for 10 to 15 years. We can worry about the 10 to 15 years when we get there, but right now, many people say Iran is 2 to 3 months from getting a nuclear weapon. This would probably lengthen that breakout, what they call a breakout period, where they could race to a weapon to at least a year, and will hold that period for, you know, 10 or 15 year period. But I think the Congress does need to approve this, but what Obama should do instead of trying to skirt the Congress, the constitutional role of the Congress, is to go to the American people and say, listen, this is a very important, you know, even do an Oval Office speech, say, this is a very important agreement, and we need support from Democrats and Republicans and everybody. Write your congressmen and senators and tell them that they need to approve this. And, you know, even hawkish Republicans read their mail. And I think Obama needs to do this the old-fashioned LBJ way, and that is to round up votes and count votes and get the thing passed, not to skirt the issue.
Yeah. Is it better for the U.S. to have a closer tie with Iran? I mean, that seems like such a silly question. But when we look at what's going on with ISIS and, oh my gosh, every day the reports from Syria and Iraq and who knows what's next. There have been reports about Afghanistan, you know, kind of teetering into Afghanistan. So isn't it better to try to have a mediable relationship with Iran rather than a hostile one?
Well, I think, you know, we don't need to be friends with Iran, but we need to treat them like every other country, and that is sometimes we agree with them and sometimes we don't. And it's the same way with the Saudi Arabians and other countries, right? And with ISIS, they're helping to battle ISIS, whether we like to coordinate with them overtly or not. I think we probably are coordinating with them under the table. Also, as you point out, in Afghanistan, we might share some interests. And certainly battling al-Qaeda, we may share some interests, since al-Qaeda is a revolutionary Sunni Islamist group, and so is ISIS, and Iran is a Shiite country, and therefore, usually they line up against these radical Sunni groups. So there's all sorts of areas of cooperation that Iran and the U.S. could have. But the problem with America is that we demonize people like Milosevic, Saddam Hussein, Gaddafi. So you can't run a sophisticated foreign policy of disagreeing with the country on one thing and agreeing with them on the other thing. It always has to be this moralistic crusade. And then when we do overthrow people like Gaddafi or Saddam Hussein, we get chaos and even more radical leaders. And we wonder why. So I think we need to be more sophisticated. I think we've been trying to overthrow the Ayatollahs in Iran for years, and we haven't been successful. So we might as well just say, hey, sometimes we're going to agree with these people. They don't seem as radical anymore compared to ISIS and al-Qaeda. So I think, we need to have a more sophisticated policy and say, and I think that's what Israel and the Sunni Arab countries who all oppose Iran are really seeing here is not just the nuclear weapons, because Israel has 200 to 400 nuclear weapons already, and Iran would probably get a handful of these things. So Israel would still have deterrence, dominance of deterrence. What they're really scared of, the Israelis and the Sunni Arab states, is that the balance of power is going to shift in the region, and Iran is a potentially big and powerful country because it has a lot of people in it, and it has a viable source of oil as an economic base. And it might be more aligned with the superpower. And, of course, they would be diminished, have their relationship diminished with the superpower. But, that doesn't necessarily mean that we can't have some relations with them, too. It's not going to change overnight. And I think there's the only selective areas where we would want to cooperate with Iran. This would not be a complete reversal of policy where we're now opposed to Israel and the Sunni Arab states like Saudi Arabia and in favor of Iran. This would be a more nuanced policy as we really need.
Yeah, boy, that certainly sounds good to me. That makes sense. All right, you got 30 seconds. Are the Nationals going to go to the World Series this time around or not?
Well, they certainly have a powerful team, and I think it's all or nothing because they have several people that are going to be free agents at the end of the season. So I think this is the year to do it if they're going to do it.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, Ivan Elin, appreciate it so much. Senior Fellow and Director at the Center on Peace and Liberty at the Independent Institute. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. Genstone.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on health care by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Norrie, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit brightsidebend.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Bend team. Go to brightsidebend.com. That's brightsidebend.com.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins, but did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoins. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
While we wait to see the fate or hear of the fate of Jokar Tsarnaev, the Boston Marathon bomber, one of them, his brother was killed, as you all know, Boston native Mark Wahlberg is going to star in a film about the Boston bombing and the manhunt that followed. The film is going to be Patriots Day. It's being produced by CBS Films. And according to Deadline, Wahlberg is hoping to play the Boston Police Commish Ed Davis, who retired after the attack, and here's your number, in 2013, of course. The film will feature material that was researched by the CBS news program 60 Minutes. Wahlberg, by the way, is also a producer of the film. Patriots Day is the second film, there's another number, related to the Boston bombing to be announced. Fox said that it's going to be making a film called Boston Strong about the event, too. You know, there's always a press when there's something like this that happens maybe 2 years later, then they'll come out with a kind of a TV movie, and that's usually what it is. How about this? The revenge porn operator got 18 years in prison. And, you know, if you know anything about that story, crazy story, So I'd say that 18 years is 18 years will teach you a lesson there, needless to say, even with good behavior. So I guess I was kind of, I guess it, when all said is done, I was kind of surprised by that number. This is the sad number that I was going to tell you about. The mass graves, 1,700. That's what they believe. That holds Iraqi soldiers that have been discovered in Tikrit. 1,700. Can you imagine? I'm sure there's more details, and they know there's more details that are going to come out about this, but even just to go there and see, it must be just a horrific, I mean, just a horrific sight. And how sad is that? This goes along with the whole ISIS thing, you know, that we've been talking about. Would you be surprised to learn that the TSA gets to keep $675,000? That's what happened. That was left behind by people who were traveling. That's a lot. That means quarters, dimes, whatever. You know, when you're running around at the airport security, everybody's pressing on. You have to throw your shoes in, have everything x-rayed and all that other kind of stuff. It's all that loose change that falls out, and people are just running for flights and they don't care. Wow, how about that? Do you know that it's more than 76% more than they collected in 2008? So it's doubled. Every year it goes up, all that loose change. So what do they do with the loose change? They have a fund that helps fund security operations. That's nice. So we're helping the TSA. We're infuriated by the TSA, but we're helping the TSA when our loose change is collected, and that's the amount of money they have at the end of the year. That's crazy. Think about it. In a couple of years, we were saying $1 million was left behind at the airport. What would you do with $1 million? Well, we're funding the TSA. We're using it for security at various airports. Wow. This is very sad for anybody who has a pet. You know how people are about their pets. Well, how about a cat? They say this cat was lost after a 14-hour flight from Abu Dhabi to New York. So how does that, I mean, aren't they in like a crate, right? It was a husband and wife who were flying back to the United States after living there for 3 years. So they had a cat. And, you know, things get misplaced, certainly. But Jennifer Stewart said she was devastated that the airways, that Etihad Airways lost her baggage, her 2-year-old pet cat, Felix. She said that she and her husband booked Felix on their flight for JFK. When the plane arrived, Felix was missing somewhere on the grounds of JFK. So the records they have are that he got there, but he got loose because the plastic container, I guess, or carrier was damaged at some point during the flight or transfer or whatever. Yeah, somebody just threw the cat through the container as it bounced down by the hull. So, yeah, there was a large hole at the top of the carrier, so the cat got out. And it's been 1 week, and the cat is still missing. And she said, "It makes me sick. He was a live animal, not cargo. You trust people, and then this is what happens." They say that the loss, the airlines says, by the way, the loss of pets during air travel is extremely rare, that they shipped more than 200 pets last year. But they're investigating to see if they can find the missing cat. But, boy, that's like one of the busiest airports. That cat could be anywhere. Anywhere. Could be roaming around in some, could be roaming around somewhere around the grounds of the airport. There's a million different scenarios, I think, for that cat, and if that cat's going to turn up or not. All right, Dan from Texas has turned up, and we're going to go to him next. Hello, Dan.
Hello, baby.
How are you?
I'm fine in Frankfurt. Belated Easter greetings to you. I fixed a giant pork roast with mashed potatoes and it was plum larrapin with cherry cobbler crumble on top.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah,
ooh.
And I spoke to your screener, Patrick. He's a good Irish boy, so we're ready to go with Amanda.
That's good. We like those Irish.
Well, that's because you're Irish, darling. And I,
that's right.
So I can get to your tender heart if I speak a little of the old fob.
You're so funny.
And so are you. About this presidential election, I don't think much of Perry. I mean, he can't remember what branches of government is. Now he's going to tout himself. Yeah, he's going to tout his little record of Texas. But that was great for Texas. But we've had enough of wannabes that just can't quite measure up. I mean, he's a good man, but he is not presidential material. And I think he's trying basically for the vice president situation. Like a lot of them are like Rand Paul. I think it's going to come down to Walker and Cruz. Forget Bush. We have had all the Bushes we're going to put up with. Besides, he can't figure out if he wants to be a Mexican or whatever. He put down on his thing that he was Hispanic in 2009. Well, I guess why.
I saw that.
Yeah, isn't that sick? I mean, you know, talk about pander. And he looks lazy. When you see the guy, you look like, this guy is just plain lazy. He's the same kind of person as Hillary is. He thinks he is. It's his turn, and it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a whole lot of money, but they can blow the money like Edelson did with Romney. It's not going to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I agree. I agree that they think. I think your analogy is right on with Clinton and with Bush. That hey, it's my turn. Yep.
Yeah, but. With this, now I want to touch on Iran, and then I want to touch on the Tsarnaev situation.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You can't trust Iran. These people have killed American soldiers with their IEDs. They've been at war with us since the cockamamie took over in 79, and they're going to do everything they can to get the necessaries to bring about the Holocaust that will bring forth their 12th imam. That will bring about the peace and security and total domination of the world as the Muslim caliph did. That's all it is. And we can't trust these people in any way, shape, or form. And anybody that, like your last guest that says we can trust them, you can forget it. You can't trust them. The only way to deal with them is to get rid of them once and for all. I hate to say that, but that's the way it is. And we're going to have to do it sooner or later. Now, last but not least, put a pressure cooker with Tsarnaev and let him cut off one of his arm legs to get free.
Yeah, nothing is good enough for what the pain that the Tsarnaev brothers inflicted on all those people that went there to the Boston Marathon. Some of them were native Bostonians and others who poured into the city. Dan, thanks. And thanks to all of you for listening to this version of America Tonight.
Complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.